Morning, everyone. Good to be here. Good to be together. Name of the message today is, I Will Rejoice. I Will Rejoice. Turn, if you would, to Habakkuk chapter 3. I had Brother Tim read the whole chapter to give us the context of where we'll be today. I Will Rejoice. Now Habakkuk, the name Habakkuk means strong embrace. Strong embrace. And this speaks of a man who is clinging and holding fast to divine wisdom, to his God. And this speaks of Christ in the Proverbs, which we'll look at after we read Habakkuk 3, verse 16-19. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon high places to the chief singer on my stringed instrument. So the prophet's name means strong embrace. Proverbs says, exalt her, speaking of wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Strong embrace, Habakkuk means. And we are to cling to divine wisdom, which is Christ. We are to embrace Christ strongly. And God's people, they cling to the Lord. They cling to the Lord, glory. And we will see the prophet lives up to his name in verses 18 and 19 of our text, which says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And He will make me walk upon mine high places. God's people are continually clinging to Christ. Continually. I find myself continually clinging to my Lord. Clinging to the one who I didn't ever think about before the Lord saved me. Well, you know, like I said, only when I was in trouble or something. But now, He's everything. And I cling to Him. Do you? Oh, is He not the one who upholds us during times of trouble and trial? And we see here in Habakkuk a plea to God on the sufferings of the righteous under tyranny and amidst the prosperity of the wicked before the righteous. And this will bring these last couple verses here because there was troubled times during Habakkuk's time. And there was troubled times during Paul's time. And there's troubled times with our Christian brothers and sisters who were being persecuted during the New Testament times. And this will bring God's people great comfort, knowing, as we see around us, right? Look what we see around us in our world. Terrorism, different situations going on in various countries, governments rising, governments falling, civil wars in countries, countries on the verge of going nuclear, freedom seeming to evaporate before our eyes. Serious consequences with the next election, right, for the Supreme Court. We see these things and we think, these are serious times. But we can draw comfort. We can draw comfort because none of these things have caught our God by surprise. None of them. He's upon the throne. In all things, remember this, when we see these things, all things are working out according to His purpose. According to His purpose. In our good, even if we don't see it that way. The Lord Jesus Christ is ever with His people. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 28. Ever. No matter what we go through in life, in trials, in tribulations, our Lord is ever with us. Ever with His people. We know Hebrews says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And He will never leave His people. Never. But look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What do? We preach the gospel, don't we? Missionaries, we send missionaries out. They go out, they preach the gospel. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, this is our King. And lo, oh believer, think of this when you go through troubled times. Think of this when a trial comes out. Think of this when we look and see what's going on in the world. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He'll never leave His people, beloved. Never. What great comfort we can draw from that. What great comfort. And we continue to preach and proclaim Christ Jesus our Lord. And we thank God for the freedoms that we have. The freedom to meet together. The freedom to preach and proclaim His Word. And we send the message out and God does whatever He's pleased to do. And we can draw great comfort from the fact that God has always taken care of His people, no matter what circumstance they go through, no matter what. No matter what is occurring in the world. Donnie Bell told me, God always takes care of His sheep, and He does. I've seen it in my life. He always takes care of His people. Always. No matter what the circumstances are, we are told to rest and trust in He who orders all things after the counsel of His own will. Of His own will. And think of all the different circumstances which have beset God's people in Scripture. And think of how God's always cared for them, always taken care of them. Joseph, His own brothers, sold him into slavery. His own brothers. Then he's taken to Egypt and he's cast in jail. And then he becomes the second most powerful person in Egypt. And his brothers who sold him into slavery come to him to get food. Israel labored under the harsh Egyptian rule. And the Lord sent them a deliverer. He delivered them out of Egypt. We were in Egypt, weren't we? Spiritually. Oh, and our great deliverer, He delivered us from all our sins by the shedding of His precious blood. Exodus says this, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage. Exodus 2:23. And God heard their groaning. He hadn't forgotten them. He knew exactly what they were going through. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and God had respect unto them. He sent them a deliverer. And He delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel continually in their history continually had nations rise up against them. 1 Samuel 30:23 says this. And think of this. Even though those nations rose up against Israel, God always preserved them. He always kept them. He preserves his people. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us. God preserved them. David knew who preserved them. He knew it wasn't his own doing. Who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our land. Job went through many trials. Many trials. But God preserved him. Turn, if you would, to Job chapter 10. God kept him. What a picture. What a picture Job is of God keeping his people amidst trials and struggles. He kept Job. Look at Job chapter 10, verse 11 and 12. Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. God preserved Job. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 37. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ will ever be with His people. It's proclaimed in the New Testament, which we looked at, and it's proclaimed in the Old Testament as well. Look at Psalm 37:28. He will not forsake His people, beloved. He will not forsake His people. God's elect are His covenant people, the ones He purchased with His own precious blood. And He will never forsake them. Look at Psalm 37, verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever. God's saints are preserved forever. Forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. And then we'll go back to Habakkuk. God preserves His people forever. And who are we preserved in? Jude tells us, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. And look at verse 2. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. But look at this, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. God's people are kept in Christ, kept in Him. Amidst all that goes on around us in this world, God's people are kept in Christ. They're kept in Him. Let's go back to Habakkuk. And actually, the key verse of this book is found in Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's go there. And we'll read that verse. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. This is the key verse of the book. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. No matter what's going on, no matter the turmoil in the world, just shall live by his faith. So the theme of this book is the just shall live by faith. We don't live by sight. We don't live by sight. As we look around and we see things happening in this world, it will quickly fill our heart with trouble. But the believer in Christ lives by faith. Lives by faith. Knowing that our sovereign God is King. King. He's absolutely sovereign. This is why we're told to look to Christ. To look above. Because when we get looking down here, boy, oh boy. No, we're to look to Christ. We're to keep looking to Him. It's not just life and a look. We continue to look to Him. There is life and a look. Life and a look to the Savior. But the believer keeps looking. Keeps looking. And when we do, when we look to Christ, it brings us peace. and rest to the believer. It does not free us from being anxious sometimes, though, does it? Not hard for me to get anxious. Is it so for you? Not hard for me to worry. I struggle all the time. That's why I have to... I'm preaching to myself. Look to Christ. Look to Christ, Wayne. The Spirit's willing, right? But the flesh is weak. The just. Look at it. Look in Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just. Sinners? Doesn't it says just? Oh, sinners made just. Sinners made righteous by Christ and Him alone. By imputation of the righteousness of Christ, by His perfect living and His perfect dying in our place is our substitute, the Lamb of God. His righteousness is imputed to us. Our sins are imputed to Him and His righteousness is imputed to us. We're made just. Sinners. It's marvelous. It's marvelous. The just ones, the ones who are made willing, the ones who have fled to Christ. Faith is a conduit. Talking to Brother Norm Wells, he brought this out. Faith is a conduit for grace, mercy, and peace from God. And faith has one object, just one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith is a gift. We can't boast in our faith. Because it's a gift. But it's a conduit for grace, mercy, and peace from God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. We don't have no room to boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We boast in Christ. The believer boasts in Christ. Don't boast in anything in this flesh. There's nothing good in this. But oh, my Savior. Oh, my Savior. Oh, that you'd look to Him if you... that He'd give you grace and faith if you don't believe in Him to believe in Him. Oh, that you'd rest in Him. The only peace I have is from Him. Peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back to our text in Habakkuk chapter 3, knowing that the key verse of this book is the just shall live by his faith. The theme of this book. In Habakkuk 3:16, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble, when he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. The prophet notes in verse 16 an incredible statement that I might rest in the day of trouble. God's people, what? We rest in the day of trouble, don't we? Who do? Brother Newell, who's your rest? Christ, right? No matter what happens, He's the one you're looking to. That's who the believer rests. In a day of trouble, no matter what's going on, no matter what kind of calamities occurring, that I might rest in the day of trouble. We rest in the day of trouble. Now, we do not rest in ourselves, do we? Not at all. We find no rest in it. I don't find any rest in myself. But I'll tell you, there's one who the believer finds rest in. One who the believer finds peace in. And that's in Christ. No matter what comes up, no matter what anxiety we feel, I've noticed in myself that a circumstance will happen and I'll get anxious. Or I'll get stressed. And it usually happens when that circumstance first happens. And then the Lord turns our eyes on Him. And it just fades away. And you know what helps me? And I don't know if it's so for you, but what helps me is when I remember all the times He delivered me. All the times that He took care of me. He'll never leave His people. Never. So no matter what comes up, no matter what circumstance surprises us, it does not surprise God. Not at all. Let us remember that. Circumstances surprise us, but they do not surprise our great King. And He has ordained whatever comes up. And He'll give grace and mercy and strength in time of need. And our peace comes from Him. As I repose in Christ, as I look to Him, that's where my peace comes from. It's from Christ. If I get my eyes on the circumstance or my eyes on myself, I'm in a heap of trouble. But the Lord always turns His people back to Him. Oh, what strength we can glean. We find rest in the day of trouble. Where? In Christ and Him alone. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. Brother Calvin mentioned this week that we need to pray for our leaders, and we do. We need to pray for our country. We do. We need to pray for the political circumstances that are occurring right now. We need to lift them all up to God. We pray that His will be done, but oh, we pray here, have mercy on us, don't we? And we do this we pray for our leaders, we pray for the circumstances, knowing that God will work out whatever He's pleased to do. And this is where our peace comes. This is where our rest comes, in Christ and Him alone. Right? And this was true of Habakkuk's time also. Look at verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Even when there's a famine in the land of the hearing of the word of God. Even in these dark days of divine judgment and religious apostasy all around us, and there's a lot of religious apostasy out there right now. Lot. Even in times when Elijah, when we think we're alone, there's no herd in the stalls, none gathered into the fold, our sovereign God and our sovereign King is working out all things according to His will and according to His purpose. And this brings the believer peace and rest. Things are not as they appear, beloved of God. Our Lord God is still riding upon His chariots of salvation. He's still saving His sheep as He pleases. He's still sovereign. He's not abdicated His throne. He is absolutely sovereign. And He saves His people by the preaching of His word. He's still going forth for the salvation of His people. And this is the hope that God's people rest in. This is the hope that we rest in. Just like in Habakkuk's time, we see that God's people have a good hope through grace in Christ. We have a good hope through grace in Christ amidst all that goes on around us. And here before us, we have Habakkuk's response by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is also the believer's cry through all the ages. Through all the ages. When trouble arises during their time, look at Habakkuk 3:18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. There's our rest. So let's look at these precious truths in these scriptures and see if we can find comfort along with Habakkuk. Yet I will rejoice. The prophet here will rejoice amidst all that is occurring around him. How can he do this? How can the believer rejoice amidst trying times? How? Because the joy of the Lord is his strength. The joy of the Lord is his strength. Psalm 9:2 says this. Turn, actually, if you would, to Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. David wrote of this, rejoicing in his God. Rejoicing in his God amidst trials and troubles. Look at Psalm chapter 9, verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. So how can Habakkuk, how can David rejoice during times of trouble? I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high. And look at verses 13 to 15. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer. And the Lord knows everything his people are going through. Everything. Don't think because you're going through something, whether it be sickness or health or persecution, don't think he's ever left you if you're one of his. He'll never leave you. Never. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. And remember, our Lord was hated without a cause. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid, is their own foot taken. Song of Solomon is a picture of the church who rejoices in Christ. Song of Solomon 1:4 says this, draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. See, the believer don't rejoice in himself. He rejoices in Christ. We rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love. When you're going through something, beloved of God, remember the Lord loves you. He loves you. With an everlasting love. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. And in Philippians, Paul in the New Testament, well, he's in prison. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The believer has no confidence in himself. None. It's all in Christ. It's all in him. So the believer rejoices. Now, who do we rejoice in? Look at Habakkuk 3:18 again. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. The believer rejoices in the Lord. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Habakkuk, like Paul, has learned to rejoice and to be content whatever circumstances have arisen. His strength, his joy is in Christ, is in the Lord. And that's the self-existent one that we've been looking at. And that's the very same Jehovah. Remember, Christ, the great I am. Christ declared himself to be the great I am. We looked at that a few weeks back. So the very one who Habakkuk is trusting in is the Lord. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He's content no matter what circumstance he's in. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things. Now the world, before I read this verse, now the world promotes look in yourself, right? Religion says you can do it, and we're going to do it right along with you. Right? But grace says this, my strength's in the Lord. I have no confidence in the flesh. Look what Paul says here. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There's our strength. There's our strength. It's in Christ. We don't rejoice in ourselves. Brother Tom Harden says we're bankrupt sinners. That's what we are. Bankrupt sinners. We have no strength on our own. None. Mercy beggars. And we rejoice, though. We rejoice in the Lord, don't we? We rejoice in the great I am. We rejoice in the one who's redeemed us on Calvary's cross. The one who paid it all. Who did that which we could never do. For us. Our great substitute. The Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's our strength. He's our sovereign King and our Lord. And we rejoice in the Word. As we read Scripture, it points us to Christ. We rejoice in the Word who was God. And the Word who was made flesh and dwelt among us. We rejoice in the greatness of His person. Oh, He's great. He's great. We rejoice in the glory of the fact that God became a man. God. Became a man. Fully God and fully man. To die upon Calvary's cross as the substitute of His people. And we glory in this. We draw great strength from this. Knowing that I've said it many times, can you pay the price for just one of your sins? I can't. Not even one of my sins. But Christ paid it all. He paid for all my sins. All. And if you're a believer, He paid for all your sins. And we just marvel in that. We marvel in that. We rejoice in it. We rejoice in His offices, prophet, priest, and king. We rejoice that He is our mediator between God and man. The only mediator. We rejoice that He's our Savior, that He saved us from all our sins by the shedding of His precious blood, purchasing us with His own precious blood. We rejoice in His grace and His righteousness. We rejoice that He was God incarnate in the flesh. We rejoice that in the day of trouble, He'll be with us. He'll never leave us. And we rejoice that He gives us grace to help in time of need. That's why we go before the throne of grace, petitioning. And He gives us, Scripture says, grace to help in time of need. Oh, what a great God we have. So Paul's rejoicing and Habakkuk's rejoicing is in the Lord. It's in the Lord and Him alone. Look at our text. It says, Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. We joy in the God of our salvation. Our joy does not come from within ourselves. False religions tell you to look within yourself. Buddhism does that. Look within yourself. I don't want to look into myself. I'm a sinner. I need Christ desperately. Desperately. So our joy doesn't come from within ourselves. Our strength doesn't come from within ourselves. It comes from Christ. It doesn't come from our attainments. Right? Folks, joy in their attainments. Well, The only reason I can do what I can do is because God gives me strength to do it. Our joy doesn't come from our possessions. When we die, someone else is going to get them. Our joy comes from Christ and Him alone. And the believer knows this. He's been taught this. Knowing this, that Christ has redeemed my eternal soul. Oh, what joy. Oh, what joy it brings the believer. We joy in the God of our salvation. Knowing that Christ has redeemed our soul, and knowing also that we're justified before God. Sinners. Justified before a holy and righteous God. And how are we justified? In Christ. You see, it just keeps going back to Him. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So the joy the believer has comes from resting and trusting in Christ, who is the God of my salvation, the believer Christ. He's the God of my salvation. And the believer rejoices in the Lord, the unchangeable God. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's the God who is and was and is to come. He's the great I am. He's the spring of the believer's joy. He's our rest amidst trouble. He's the shelter in the time of storm. He's the one we're hidden in. He's our shield and our defender. He's our hope. He's our joy. It's all in Christ. It's all in Him. And in Him all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. It's in Him. It's in Christ is where all grace is, and all mercy, and all wisdom, and all redemption, and all sanctification, and all love, and all righteousness. And we joy and praise in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Nowhere else. In order for God to save His people, God became a man. Man, Christ Jesus, fully God and fully man, to redeem His people, to save His people from their sins. And why did He do it? He did it because He loves His people with an everlasting love. And it all flows, beloved, it all flows out of the pure mercy of God, His free and sovereign grace. And you who are believed, aren't you thankful? Oh my. Is it any wonder why God's people who are sinners rejoice in the God of our salvation? Is it any wonder? And this salvation is particular to the people of God. It is ours in Christ. The Holy Spirit regenerates His people. And what happens? We flee to Christ. We flee to Christ. And we rejoice in Him. We rejoice in the One who some of us used His name before the Lord saved us to our shame. In ways that we're ashamed of. Now. Oh, what a precious name. The God of my salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Deliverer, our Redeemer, our Savior, and our God. Our God. And look at verse 19. Habakkuk continues his praise amidst trouble, proclaiming who his strength is. In verse 19, he said in 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." And look at 19. "The Lord God is my strength He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. The believer's strength is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our strength. We are set upon a rock, and that rock is Christ. That rock is Christ, Jesus our Lord. And the last verse continues to ascribe all glory and all honor and all praise to our great God, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Do you notice? It's not the sinner's doing. It's God's doing, beloved. It's God's doing. The believer's strength's not in himself. It's in God. And this ties in with our Colossians study where we've been looking through that Wednesday nights. And in verse 29 it said of chapter 1, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working. His working. Which worketh in me mightily. It's His working. And tie that in. Tie that in. God is my strength. The Lord God is my strength with our verse in 19. And He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And He will make me to walk upon mine high places. There's an all-sufficiency in Christ, in Him alone. An all-sufficiency for the believer. The believer has all-sufficiency in all things. And it's only through Christ and Him alone. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Christ is all sufficient for the believer. There was a time when we, before the Lord saved, we who believe, we had confidence in ourselves, didn't we? In what we could do. What a change God wrought in the believer. Oh my. What a change He wrought in the believer. And look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. And look who's doing this. This is, again, incredible. In God, it doesn't say in man, right? And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. God's able to do this. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, toward the believer, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, to every good work. So, the believer, where do we find this all sufficiency? Not in ourselves, because Paul said we have no confidence in the flesh. But the all sufficiency we find in Christ. In Christ. The grace of God in Christ is a glorious treasury. It's a treasury. One which the believer can never empty. Never. We approach the throne of grace and we receive grace to help in time of need. God's grace in Christ is a fountain. It's a fountain full and ever flowing. Ever flowing. Overflowing. Look again in our verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8, verse 8. We see a threefold link in this golden chain here. Let down from the throne of grace by the God of grace. It says all grace. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That ye having all sufficiency. We see all sufficiency. And then we see in all things. A threefold link in a golden chain let down from the throne of grace. All grace, all sufficiency, in all things. And those two abound. They abound. All grace, all sufficiency, in all things. Beloved, our need cannot bankrupt the treasury of grace. Never. Never. It is an inexhaustible treasury. God's grace and mercy. In prayer, we draw from this wonderful treasury. is God gives us grace, and yet it is never diminished. Never. All our insufficiency in everything, right? Because we are insufficient in ourselves in everything, is met with the divine all-sufficiency in all things in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. And we are given grace in all circumstances and situations that arise. We are given grace to help in time of need. We are given grace in times of health. And we are given grace in times of sickness. We are given grace in and through our life. And we are given grace when it comes time for us to die and cross the Jordan. We are given grace in calmness. And we are given grace through the storms of life. We are given grace for the older believer and given grace for the young believer. We are given grace for the tried believer. We are given grace for the weak believer. And grace is given to the tempted believer. Grace is given for serving. And grace is given in rest. And grace is given to carry the joyous cup. And grace is given to drink the bitter cup. With an unmurmuring spirit. Grace is given in times of plenty, and grace is given in times of want. And grace is given to bow our knees and sometimes say through tears, and sometimes in joy, may your will be done. May your will be done. And it's God who's able to make all grace abound towards you, towards me, towards all His people. As He is our all-sufficient Savior. Christ. He's the believer's hope. Now may God give you and me grace to say amidst trouble and turmoil, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. May God be glorified in the preaching of His word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. We who are redeemed are so thankful that You keep us, that You give us joy amidst the times of trouble, that You are our rest and our hope. Oh, we pray that You'd manifest Yourself to Your sheep, Your lost sheep, that if it's Your will that You draw them to Thee by the preaching of Your word. We'll give You all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.